Everybody ready?
Yep.
We'll call the Board of Supervisors meeting to order at 8:45. We'll start by pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation: Jurgens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. Consent agenda. General agenda: approve minutes of the meeting held June 24th, 2015. Approve all claims through July 8th, 2015 in the amount of $464,167.24. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve clerk of the district court summary fee report and register of deeds statement of fees for the month of June 2015. Approve utility permit number 1026 Windstream Nebraska Incorporated, replace 1,604 feet of buried cable will Borunder Bridge and a culvert 6 feet below creek for 460 feet, and plow in 1,144 feet 5 foot deep in the west shoulder of the road in the southeast fourth of section 22, township 4 north, range 8 east of Philly Township. Entertain a motion to approve consent agenda.
I move the agenda be approved.
Second.
Consent agenda.
Motion by Byers, second by Tiemann. Any questions? If not, vote 7-0. The regular agenda. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Any comments? Or seeing none, we'll move on for committee reports. Building and grounds.
Nothing new.
Nothing new. Equalization.
Everything new.
We'll
keep going for a couple of weeks.
You bet. Finance or insurance? Not one here, but John or Terry or Terry?
A few things that I'll talk about. In the checks that were paid out this last week, there was $24,150.19 that was paid to A Sand and Gravel. This is for township material. And county materials, to be accurate, concrete was $40,303.66. So, and I think we're to discuss that later about some gravel options, but with that being said, there's a lot of material going out. And Galen shared with me that the production at the ACE pit hasn't started up yet, and the supply there will be close to gone by this week, possibly. So we'll have to see what other options we have then. So, also, I think, Myron, it was stated that the insurance increases for next year for the county is basically 0%. Is that right, Don?
Yeah. That was the information I received for the health insurance.
Right.
Health insurance.
Yeah, that's what I meant, health insurance.
We shouldn't have any increases.
Amber, who helps us with that or will come visit with us again about that, is preliminarily they were going to have a small increase, but they negotiated that.
And then we are going to need the insurance committee to meet on the 21st at 10 or 10:30, I'll let you know for sure. But they'd like to come down to, and then so we can present it to the board then at the next meeting.
But, yeah, for our health insurance, we are self-insured, but for our reinsurer part of that, they are proposing a 0% increase for the next year. So it's something that has really benefited the county to be self-insured, and we've had some years that we've been really fortunate. And
that's the preliminary email that I received.
Yeah, the preliminary email, and we'll visit with them, but it sure sounds like that we'll probably have no increase this next year. So we've been very fortunate compared to what you hear of some in the industry.
And Myron, that's what I want to add. I mean, the county people that do take this health insurance probably don't know how lucky they are to have that. it's a big benefit, and it's for the people working for the county.
And I think it's also important to say, you know, with the employees, their health, you know, if they are health conscious or whatever, take care of themselves, that makes a direct impact on whether our rates are.
Because our rates are since we're self-insured, it's directly upon the claims that we have or what we have, the cost in the previous year or so on and stuff. So it's very much tied into that. So
this board's decision, positive decision to do that and become self-insured and to promote wellness in our employees has been absolutely fantastic. And I haven't found any of our employees that aren't totally in support of this and feel very comfortable with what we're doing. And obviously, it's paying off. It's working. And so let's keep that up. So thanks, everybody, for all these wonderful things.
Human resource.
Nothing.
John, next time we will, next committee meeting, we will schedule a human resource one. We need to visit a little bit about our handbook and the time clocks. Don and some of the elected officials have started visiting about that and to make sure that we update our time clock. So next committee meeting, we will schedule a human resource committee meeting and start the conversation a little bit and see what we need to do or if there's changes we need to make as far as our handbooks and everything. So
should we schedule that before finance?
Before finance?
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Are you on human resource meeting at committee?
It just seems like everything should go before finance.
Everything should go
before finance. Your new chairman will have to go.
Okay, that's fine. Law enforcement.
I don't have anything additional from Monday. I think we pretty well covered it. Unless Gus or Tim has something they want to add, but or somebody on the board, but I don't have anything.
One thing with the disaster declaration, I got with Galen about that we're going to have that at Plymouth at 1:30 on the 16th. So trying to work with the townships to get them there. I've contacted
the city. Could you identify yourself, please, for the record?
Sorry. Tim Stutzman, Gage County Emergency Manager. Got this contact the city to let them know that it's there, and then also we need to get a hold of the townships. That's what I'm going to start working on. They're a little confused with some other meetings that we had prior on with the hazard mitigation. And then also contacted the museum. They were interested in being part of that as well, so they're going to be there. I sent them the paperwork for that.
And this is with FEMA.
Right, this is with FEMA and EMA as well. There's two other places. There's one in Lincoln, and there's another one in Deschler. So they try to get them in kind of a central location, sort of, to get everybody together, make it a little bit easier for NEMA as well, FEMA, and everybody else.
And we will have to have our paperwork ready to submit at that time, or they're going to go
most
over.
Of it's already done. I think it's going to be kind of transferring to the FEMA side of it and seeing where some changes were and some they made some changes to. They never really told us what the changes were, but they had made some changes to something to it. Okay. We'll know more about that on the 16th.
That's something each of the townships has to have someone at?
The ones that had damages that sent damages to Galen. So they were a little confused with the hazard mitigation since we had that discussion there about they opted out, so they're going to work with inside the county on that side of it. Now, I think that they don't have to be part of this, but this is something totally different.
This is the FEMA, and if they want reimbursement and stuff for
That was about hazard mitigation grant funding, something different than what this is.
This is about. So,
are you just sending them letters, or
I'm going to contact them.
On the phone, maybe, just to make sure they actually realize.
Yeah. I got the list from Becky. I have to get a new list because I don't have the access to that program, but for some reason I was going to contact her after this to get that new list. But
do you need any of us there?
Not sure. Maybe one.
Byron was free at 1 that day. The time
was it's at the
I thought the 16th we were going to be here.
16th Thursday. Yeah. It's at Plymouth.
You're very good at the fire hall.
I should be able to cover that for us because I'm obviously I'm going to be there. So
yeah. Hour or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be great. Plan on Gary working that with you. Yeah.
FEMA. Fire hall at 1:30 in Plymouth.
1:30 or 1?
1:30.
Didn't you just say 1?
Well, 1. What's the time now?
Did 1:30 the first time.
Road and Bridge.
we talked about the bids, and I think it's coming up on the agenda for the culvert projects. And well, I'll go through that when that comes up, on those bids. The bridge crew has been working on cleaning bridges for inspection. It's going to start this week, the state inspections. Galen handed us out a sheet. I think everybody got one, but this is a now, so there's no mistake about this. This sheet that we're talking about here, the township material, gravel material, comes from Ace Sand and Gravel. This material list that we have spoke about this last week is basically for county. County normally does all its hauling. The township rock or gravel is hauled by Rock On. Now, as we just spoke about earlier, that supply has dwindled down fairly low. Hopefully production will start up quickly and we'll be all right. But these miles that we spoke about, being the county has been tied up with their trucks hauling rock, spot rock, townships all around, got behind, and this is part of the damage, too, from the storm, that we need gravel back on the county roads. So when you see these townships listed in those areas, those are the county roads in these township areas that we're talking about here. So the amount or the miles was basically just, well, say 60 miles. And the second line coming out of there would be the Tiemann price, and that total dollar amount to do this is $232,160.32. Like I say, normally we would use county equipment to do this. Of course, they're behind with that stuff too. So we've talked about going to the second bid. Going with that to get caught up on our county miles. And I think that's up for discussion, too, later on. So that's just a preview of that. Rock On has just started hauling spring allocations for township roads. And Don received a letter from the NRD stating that the county needs to say they want to receive those new gas tax funds. They amount to 6 cents a gallon when that takes effect. So that's going to be passed on. And Galen handed me this morning. Everybody remembers we had the accident by Adams. The insurance came to us, said the county, if the value of that chassis is $4,387, which is quite a bit lower than I thought it should be or would be. So we'll have to make a determination on what we do with that to replace it and how. So,
is that something we want to negotiate with them on?
I don't know, Galen. I mean,
well, when I first looked at that, I thought it was a little low.
That's my impression, too, but
it was a 1999 model, but it only had 104,000 miles on it, and it did have a diesel motor. For an older truck, it was very good condition. So that's why I requested, and I gave a copy to Myron and to Terry, what they call the PDA, and that's how they came up with this offer that they offered me to the county for the truck. I wanted to kind of look at that.
Up to the mic, sorry.
I wonder if that PDA needs calibrated for more modern times, maybe.
That's why this morning I handed out a copy of what it's called a PDA, and it was the how they came up with the estimate for what that vehicle was valued at, what they were willing to pay. So I just wanted Terry and Myron and everybody to kind of look it over, and then because I told them I'd get back with them sometime and let them know on what they told me verbally over the phone for the offer for the truck was. So, on that, and I did talk with John at NIRMA, our insurance company, after I had talked with the gentleman up there and voiced my opinion to him, and I thought that was kind of low. Well, he'd done a little, some quick figuring and all, and he said, well, you know, it is a 1999 model. And I said, well, yeah, but it is a good, clean truck, too. So, but he, and he'd done some fast figuring at a NADA, you know, and come up, and he says, they may be a little low, but he says, you might want to do your own checking on a little bit and request what I did, that PDA there, and look it over and then go from there. So that's what I did.
And, Galen, they're just talking about chassis here, aren't they? That's not the whole bed and everything. It's just chassis.
It's the whole truck minus all our equipment, of course.
Right, but I mean, what about the bed?
The bed is with the truck. It's part of the truck.
Bed stays with the truck.
Yes.
Is it damaged?
That makes it worse yet.
Is the bed damaged? I didn't really see no evidence of damage, but I really don't have another truck down there that is, that specific bed would fit on, because they did offer another figure there if the county wanted to keep the truck. The figures,
$3,650.
Yeah, $3,650, and then the county could keep the truck, you know, the whole truck and bed and all. So, but I really haven't had time to study that over and talk with the mechanic to see if there's any, if it would be worth possibly consider keeping it. You know, if we could figure out something it'd fit on. One of the problems is that bed on that Pacific truck is a fairly short bed. So,
this is the one that someone ran head on into.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think we probably need to talk about that a little bit more. That, or maybe he'd be nice enough to find us a similar unit for that price.
And well, I hope, I wish, because I've done a little bit of looking on the internet, and I haven't seen anything close to that, you know, for what they're offering.
You can't touch anything close for that when you go looking for one.
That's a little different if we destroyed it, but with somebody else destroying it.
Yeah. So, but that's why I handed those. Yeah. Out to you and Terry and Myron so they could have something to kind of look at.
Okay. Thank you, Galen. Mm-hmm. And some other items coming up on the agenda we'll discuss.
Some other items. And we do have a time to vet at 9 o'clock. And at 9:02 in the clock, we have their Veterans Honor this morning with Phil, if you'd like to come up and
sure.
Explain who we have today.
Well, today we don't have Mr. Donald Burke. He, his daughter called this morning just about an hour ago and said that he had went to the VA hospital and he had some fractured vertebrae, so he wouldn't be able to make it in today. But I thought I'd come over and let you know what his service was. Don served in the United States Army from March 18th of 1941 until October of 1945. He served in the Ardennes, Rhineland, Northern France, and Central Europe during his time in World War II. He received the European Service Medal with 4 Bronze Service Stars, the American Defense Service Ribbon, and it should be noted also that he was at the Battle of the Bulge and received a bullet wound to his helmet, and luckily not to his head. But he's 91 years old. Great guy. So if we could maybe get somebody to take the stuff over to him sometime, if you can get together with my office, I'll give you the address, whoever you decide to send, and we can do that.
That would be great.
Right.
Because Noah, quite a service record there.
Yes, yeah, so. I'm sure he could have told us some good stories, too.
I'm sure he could have, too, yeah.
But that's all I have today. Thank you.
I'm thinking maybe we should delay and have him come in, because I'd like to hear some of them stories.
We could do that too. I could talk to his daughter and see if he can.
If that would work out, that would be fantastic.
Better. Yeah. Okay. If that would work out,
yeah. We'd like to say thank you and recognize him if we can.
Sure.
Even next month, if we have two, I mean, if he could come back and we still have another honor, that would be great. Another person to honor, that would be great.
We'll see if that works first, and if
something happens that it just doesn't work out, then we'll arrange something too from some of the board members to go.
And then that's what I think. Let it be at the family's option as to how they want it.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Yeah.
All right.
But we'd certainly like to have him here.
All right.
Yes,
well,
certainly would.
Thanks, Phil.
Next up on the agenda, Gus, recognition to employee for life-saving award.
Good morning. I'm still waiting for my employee to get over here yet because he had to get out of bed and isn't aware of this. But the gentleman here, I'll let introduce himself. He was kind of involved with this, and he wanted to, he felt strong enough to come in and address the board just a little bit. He introduced himself, and then he's on a time schedule, so I went in here first. And
okay. Cool. Okay. My name is Tracy Lee Pressler. On the week of Memorial Day weekend, I was in a very dark place. I'm not ashamed about being mentally ill, but I am ashamed of what happened that day. But fortunately, there was a gentleman there working the guard as slash correction officer that gave me a second look on life. Unfortunately, I tried to take my life. This gentleman was there to save my life. Didn't want him to, because I thought my life was at the ending point because of a traumatic brain injury, being mentally ill, and a few other things that were going on in my life. But this man, for his whatever reason, did his job and saved me. And with that being said, I am now doing 100% better with Blue Valley Mental Health Center. With that being said, with Blue Valley Mental Health Center, whatever you guys could do for them to keep them on track, helping with a mental ill in the community, because it should not come to the point where we have to build up and get to the point where law enforcement has to put themselves in that situation. So is there anything we can do to help that? That's a side point. But on that night, this gentleman saved my life, and because of that, I am doing 100% better, and that's all I pretty much want to say.
Stepping off here, Mike. All right, moving forward here. I kind of think he.
I just want to make a note because I think this is so tremendous. But Blue Valley Behavioral Health, the funding that we give through Region 5 Systems, and we'll have an agreement that we finish today, money goes through Region 5 Systems to Blue Valley Behavioral Health. So we're providing some funding that is going indirectly to Region 5 Systems into that, and it's just wonderful that we have these individuals available for help.
Absolutely. Okay, as Lee was saying, on March 21st, 2015, correctional officer Mike Couillat heard a noise coming from the northwest cell block area. Officer Couillat found an inmate attempting to hang himself with a sheet tied to the bars. Officer Couillat took action by contacting dispatch for assistance and then began cutting the sheet to free the inmate. Officer Couillat then entered the cell and began CPR. After approximately 30 seconds of CPR, the inmate regained consciousness and became somewhat combative. Officer Couillat was able to verbally calm the inmate until paramedics arrived on scene. Due to his quick actions and professional conduct, which resulted in saving the life, he is now receiving the Gage County Sheriff's Office first certificate for a life-saving award and presenting the medal award as well. Congratulations. Are you awake enough to say anything? Or?
Been on for 15 hours.
I know. Really. You ain't got to say it all. Feel free.
Not really a whole lot to say other than I just really appreciate it. It's good to see that he's doing better. I'm glad I was there to help him out.
Me too.
One thing I didn't touch base on, Gary, at committee meeting Monday, is the reason we started a trial basis on a telemed. I think it's telemed, what they call it? Telehealth. It's tele-something, okay. And what it does is allows us to have either health or mental health professionals from wherever they're at. We bring the inmate up to a cell area and talk to him right through the screen, and it's a lot more immediate. And we're going to try and see if it works. If it seems like it's something that's doable, we might take a look and see if it's something that would be feasible for us to do. So, anyway. Thank you.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Both of you. Thank you. Next on the agenda, receive recommendation from Highway Superintendent on bids received for construction work on projects 1022, 1025, and 1045, and accept or reject the bids that we received 2 weeks ago. Galen?
Good
Yes, I recommend accepting low bid for the culvert projects 1022, 1025, and 1045 from Contact Engineered Solutions, LLC, for the low price of $79,020. And Contact was low bid on each of the projects.
And this is for all three culverts?
All three culverts,
all
yes.
All three culvert projects, I guess, because yes. There's more than three culverts, yeah.
So, Myron, these are bridge replacements, all three of them, that have been on the one-year plan and on there for probably a little while. The one is a 16-foot bridge in East 13. Can't even read my writing. East 13, do you know, Galen?
They're East 13 Grant.
Yeah, and the other one's 16-foot bridge replacement in North Midland and an 18-foot bridge in East 18th Nemaha. Yep. East 18 Nemaha. So that's what these are all going for, bridge replacements.
And these are just tubes. These are not the construction.
Our guys are doing the work, yes.
We're doing the work.
But our bridge crew will be installing these.
Actually, the dirt crew and probably bridge crew both.
Dirt and bridge crew. I mean, but our crews will be
Our crews will
these.
Be doing all the work, yes. This is just the materials for them.
What's the delivery? Is it 90 or 120 days?
4 to 6 weeks. 4 to 6 weeks. On theirs. And they did call me, and they said if there's anything I needed ahead of that 4 to 6 week period to let me know, and I did give them one that I kind of had promised I'd try to have in by harvest. So they said they'd try to get that down sooner.
Once they're on the ground, how long will it take us to get them in?
If I can just devote the time to it, it'd take a little over a week per site.
Okay.
Put them in.
Thank you.
And it don't rain too much.
Yep.
You need some more rain, Myron?
Well, no. Yeah. In 6 or 8 weeks we might, but I mean what we've had in spring, it's been a hindrance to our crews and stuff, so just too wet. So.
Okay, I make a motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion by Jurgens, second by Bauman, to approve the bid from Contact for $79,020. Any more discussion? Vote 7-0. Discuss and approve or disapprove purchase of rock and gravel for county roads due to wet weather. Matt wasn't here, I think, Monday, but we had that. This is part of what Galen handed out, that sheet, what Terry talked about. We had the 59.5 or 60 miles, roughly, of actual county roads that due to hauling the spot rock and a lot of other things and the weather, we're just have these roads that need material on. And gained a visit with us a little bit about the fact that our crews won't have the time to basically accomplish this or get this work done here when it's needed here in the next 2 to 3 months or whatever, so that we get this material on. So is there anything else you want to add, Galen? Or
basically, if it wouldn't have been for all the spots that we've been hauling from all the storm damage that we had on county and township roads, we would have been working on these miles. These are miles that the operators of these sections of county roads have turned in that are in lack of material and need material put on them. And hopefully by the end of this month, we'll be caught up on our rock spots for all the storm damage. But then I plan on starting to do some spotting in with gravel on county roads. So when we just won't have the time or the truck power with the limited time to get this on before, unfortunately, winter will be up on us again. So on this.
Galen, is this 6 miles in Granite Township, the 6 miles that you and I are acutely familiar with?
Yes, part of that is, yes.
Okay. And then where are we proposing the $232,000 additional dollars coming from? This is outside of what we normally budget.
I spoke last Monday. Now, this money could or should be coming back from FEMA, I would guess, or no? Part of it?
Well, we'll be getting some money back for all the rock and stuff we've been hauling on these spots.
Right, but
I mean,
some of this is storm damage, too. All the gravel washed off. We're going to where they're rock now, then you're going to go over with gravel, or is that just common work we have to do? Is that what this is?
I'm going to say 90% of this is just common.
Okay.
We just need the material. With all the moisture we had, we just need material on the roads.
Okay.
That rock is kind of in lieu of that, though. Instead of you hauling this gravel, you've been hauling the rock.
Yeah, we've been doing
the rock project. Offset it because we'll get paid for the rock from FEMA.
Yep. And then we'll also, when we go back on the original spots where the water washed all the material down, we put the rock down first to get our base reestablished. And now we'll go back and start hauling spot gravel on them spots because we will get reimbursed. Well, I was told we would get reimbursed to put the road back to original. So if we get started hauling our spot gravel on those same spots, we will get reimbursed for that also, is what I was told.
What's that? Oh, the question was money.
Money.
I propose this would come out of inheritance fund. I think it's that important, you know, to get these roads conditioned they need to be, the weather we've had, you know. Hopefully some will come back. Can't guarantee that, I guess. But, I mean, that was my guess what we could do. Just a little information on this, what we're talking about here. County roads get 8 truck and pup per mile of gravel. Each truck and pup is about 28 tons. Therefore, 1 mile of gravel is 224 tons, basically is what it is. We're looking at about 60 miles here, so spread throughout the county.
So just information, as of, looks like the end of June, inheritance tax balance was $2.9 million. Road and Bridge Sinking Fund was $2.2 million. So, you know, we do have dollars in there to do this, but we haven't approved the budget. That's a fickle thing about our budget approval isn't due until September, but we start the new fiscal year in July. So we're spending dollars we haven't really approved yet, and that's just the way counties operate. So
we
just
have that money, that's that highway allocation funds, and that we also received a report that I'll need to visit with you about whether we expended. Last year we didn't expend any of those funds. Now I think we had over 200 some thousand from last year and the year before, and then we'll get some more this year. So that's something too that has to be done with just those certain types of things. That's in the road and bridge sinking.
Yes. So just, and we can clarify where that, but you're suggesting that comes from inheritance then?
Okay. As we do get the sinking fund back, do we put that back into inheritance then, or some of that?
And I don't know how that would
if
work.
If FEMA reimburses, that has normally gone back into our general fund, operating fund.
It'll go into 0200 because that's on your bills that you've submitted, I believe. I think they send that back. I think the FEMA line has customarily gone back into his. Now, I guess we would have to let Lori know ahead of time it's supposed to. In the past, I believe that's where it's been. It's gone back into 0200 because usually it's been expended from that.
Right, it's been expended
so
from
we'd
that.
So we have to see if we could make sure we could put it back in inheritance or if there's any stipulations or make sure she catches it to let her know to put it in there.
And the gravel part of this would have really already been budgeted. I mean, because this is gravel plus trucking. The trucking is going to be additional because the county doesn't have time to haul it, but the gravel part would have been budgeted. But, when I look at these miles, it looks like there's probably a number of miles to come in yet.
There could be. This is just what they've turned in this spring so far.
It looks like a lot of roads out there that don't have much material on them, and I, you know, don't see it in all of these, including those numbers.
Yeah, this is just the request that we would have been working on up to now, you know, to get material on them that we haven't had time to work on. It is possible there'll be more miles coming in, as the summer goes on, yes.
Well, and just quick math, just in the phone calls I've had, 47, almost 48% of these miles are in my district, so I think you'll know how I'll vote because I'm getting phone calls. But I think it's important also to talk about in the same context. John and I had a brief conversation the other day about how we use inheritance tax dollars, and typically we try to use those for larger infrastructure capital items. And so I think John and I kind of bounced around the idea of maybe we come up with some sort of resolution that says that, you know, we're not going to expend an inheritance fund in excess or in anything less than $100,000. So we try to put that out there so we're coming up with some sort of threshold and we're not nickel and diming that fund, because that has allowed us to do additional things and really not throw those on the tax rolls. That's out. That would be outside of that levy. So I don't know that 100,000 is a magic number, but we probably, as long as this board is in existence, we come up with a resolution. It's basically just an agreement of the way we're going to do things. Probably think about that and how we want to use that. Might be something to think about. So, but okay, that's all.
I guess I would like to suggest that, you know, we've been building up the road and bridge sinking fund, and I guess our intention was is that's kind of the rainy day fund for when something happens. And at this point, I'd say it's been a rainy day, and right. I think them funds should come out of the road and bridge sinking personally. And part of the reason I say that too is I also think that we should be looking at the inheritance tax. As using a portion of that this coming year in the coming budget as property tax relief to try and take some relief off of the budget. So I guess that's kind of my thought, is we should use that out of road and bridge sinking and then maybe save that inheritance tax for another use.
I think that's probably, I kind of agree with that idea. I do know we have funds that the state is allocating back to us that have been going into there, and we have to use those for specific purposes or whatever. We can't just use those as you darn well please or whatever you want to call it, you know, yep. And stuff. So I think I'll just throw this thought out there. Let's research that a little bit, and I think we're all in agreement that we need to do these roads. But if we would research that a little bit or come up with so that we know that can come out of those lines in the sinking fund, and then at the next meeting, vote on this at the next meeting? Or is that delaying it too much, Galen? Do you want to get started on this now, I guess? That's my question.
Well, if once we get started, we have enough trucks going, and the gravel supplies hold out. It should be all right.
Well, then maybe we don't want to wait 2 weeks. Maybe we just want to take it.
What I'll do is, if it's okay, Mr. Chairman, is I would make a motion to approve this purchase of rock and gravel for county roads due to weather, and we will spend the next couple weeks deciding which fund it'll come out of. I think there's a need out there.
Yeah.
We're not cutting a check today. Mm-hmm. There'll be a bill coming, and then we can do some research. But I think there's a need out there that we got to address. I'm getting calls on 47.8% of these roads. So there's a need out there.
Oh, yeah.
Did you make that as a motion then?
That's my motion.
I'll second it.
Second it. Does everybody understand the motion? We're giving the okay to go ahead and start on hauling the rock and gravel, because Matt made a good point. These claims won't be coming in for at least 2 weeks. It'll probably be a month or whatever before these claims start coming in. And during that time, we can have the discussion from where they come out of.
Basically, this request is gravel.
This here.
Yeah. You said rock and gravel. Gravel.
Gravel. Yeah. Gravel. These 59.5 miles of gravel.
Yes.
Yeah. Any more discussion?
He seconded.
Gary seconded. Matt. Motion by Bauman, seconded by Lytle. Sorry. Now we're ready. Vote. 6 in favor with Tima and abstaining. Next up, approve or disapprove interlocal agreement between Gage County and Southeast Nebraska Adult Drug Court.
Move to approve.
Second.
We have a motion by Lytle and seconded by Byers. Discussion, or is there someone here beside, or Roger, you want to visit about it? Or
I sent you guys a quick email just to go over the agreement. It was an increase of $116.40. From last year, we had 4 more participants from Gage County, so obviously we're getting a very good benefit for the dollar you're spending. The new director, Ms. Ben Aspirin, is doing an excellent job, and I just encourage you to continue with your relationship with the drug court.
Wonderful program.
Any more discussion or questions? If not, vote. 7-0 in favor of approving agreement with Southeast Nebraska Drug Court. Yes. Next up, discussion on memorandum of understanding between Gage County and the University of Nebraska Lincoln. and I believe Paul Hay, we're here for that. And I'll just make a couple brief comments, I guess. We as a board talked about this maybe over a year ago already, that this contract, the last contract we have that was signed in 1997. And it automatically...
I'm giving you the current interlocal agreement and a draft, kind of a draft of more or less our current operating system, which aren't that much different. I'll point out the differences as we go down through it. My name is Paul Hay. I'm the University of Nebraska Extension Educator here in Gage County. You have a poster over here that says 1862. That revolves around the Homestead Act. And there was free land from 1863 when that started to September of that year. The second act that Lincoln signed at that time formed the land-grant universities, which University of Nebraska is part of. Some of you don't know, but a lot of Gage County was given away at that point in time. We were given to Rhode Island, Connecticut, Illinois, and some small parcels to Ohio. So actually, those portions of Gage County that hadn't been claimed at that time were given to those states. So when the land was sold, the money went to those states to form the land-grant institution, $2 an acre, whatever the fee was, starting in September. It's an incidental thing. There's the Moses Culver family bought a quarter section outside of Lincoln, Nebraska. Money went to Ohio State University, and just by happenstance, that is East Campus of the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, that subsequent use of that property. So originally we were Ohio State, now we're University of Nebraska. In the 1870s, Congress enacted the Hatch Act that said, we have these land-grant institutions started, and now these smart people there, as well as these up-and-coming students, we ought to do research work to further public's interest. And in 1912, in 1914, actually our first extension agent started in Gage County in 1913, sponsored by Farm Bureau, and the 1914 Smith-Lever Act of the Congress formed a partnership between federal government, the state of Nebraska, the University of Nebraska, and local counties for the work of county extension work. This is to bring the power of the university to the people here, not just students at the university, but the power of the people here to solve problems or to further, you know, what we're doing. So that's what we're about trying to do. And solving problems might be a memo I sent yesterday to all of the local co-ops and like that that do chemical control work and like that concerning alfalfa potato leafhopper invasions and what they might do to particularly seedling alfalfa stands. Right. So what I do, answer a lot of questions. What we do is go forward with a lot of programs, both in nutrition, agriculture, you name it. And then maybe non-aligned things. I'm not a trucker by trade, but last year we held two trucker education meetings, facilitated those meetings because independent truckers and like that, we had 75 come to the one here, and on demand did another one that was held in Dorchester, Nebraska. It had 80 some people at it concerning operation of particularly large trucks on roads and like that, and what the consistency of it did. So that's what we do for a living. Hopefully we do it well. We try hard. If you put on your left the interlocal agreement, that's our currently operating interlocal agreement. On the right is a draft. Page one. Attorneys are paid by how many whereas and therefores they're there. So the front page is all about paying the attorney. That's just tight. Now, I went through and looked at, does this interlocal agreement reflect all current, was it references to statutes in the state? And yes, they are all current and up to date from that standpoint. Okay. On page 2 in the draft copy, there's only some slight revisions in that number 3 administration. I thought that this was going to need to be changed a little bit more in terms of a draft kind of idea, but it really doesn't, because it is broad encompassing enough to deal with kind of what we're going to try to do in our future. Our extension board, which in the past served to review our claims, yet prior to the day, this was written prior to the day when the auditor and different things that the county has changed that whole scene, all right?
Right.
So that extension board had the function of developing that budget. That extension board had the function of paying those bills, all of those things from several standpoints, both the county money as well as our operational monies. All right, that has kind of changed. We had extension board members, one from each district, the same that represents yours, and represents today from the 4-H Council on an ad hoc basis. That extension board, solely as a guidance agency and like that, has not functioned very well. Can't get a quorum there. Have trouble with our schedules today getting a quorum of us being there at the same time, certainly on a monthly basis, even on a bi-monthly basis. This is, we're looking at a new model, and I talked to our dean last week and our director and like that, and they're are cooperative with our idea of a kind of new model that we're going to work with. And hopefully by the end of September, we would have in place a extension board that would consist of 4 members, and this administration section would allow for that. 4 members, publicly advertised, and these 4 members would be in particular kind of guidance for programming in the areas of ag, in the areas of horticulture, in the areas of nutrition and family, and in youth programming. And so we hope to align those to more individually work with me to find, give guidance to find the necessary things that we need to be doing or moving forward in education programs or responding to in the community on all fronts. And so that's our hope that we'd have that, and then do some other more broad-based listening sessions that might be done on even a multi-county basis, because all of us in the university staff located in this office, myself in the ag area, Nicole Stoner in the horticulture area, and Kayla Colgrove in the nutrition area, all have kind of southeast Nebraska responsibilities as well as here. So we need to have more broad base, a little more broad based kind of listening sessions and like that. So that's our model for the future, where we hope to go, and the dean is cooperative with that. I didn't know it, but we've kind of independently come up with some kind of a concept is about some of what they're thinking about with some other county areas and like that. So we'll see how that eventually. There is no language in this section that would preclude that kind of thing happening. All right. The other part in Section 5, it talks a little bit about the method of finance. That is, basically what it's telling you there is that the county, in Section 5 and Section 7, that the county is going to supply office space, the county supply support staff, which would be our 2 secretaries and Janie, so our 4-H program assistant, as well as office needs and like that, heat, water, lights, paper, and that's basically the what our budget is for those salaries, about 3/4 of it, and about 1/4 of it is in terms of the facility we have out on the fairgrounds, which is well served the people here. So those sections and that, there isn't anything about that that's really any different.
I do see in the bills that come through gas, as far as you're concerned, as far as driving back and forth, and as part of your expenses for you and your staff, as you'll submit for gas for your vehicles and rental cars and what have you. And I didn't hear you mention anything about that.
Well, the transportation is involved in this, and it's mentioned in here. And, you know, we don't, the only reason we have a university rental car is because it helps us have a good vehicle, and it is no more expensive. Matter of fact, it's less expensive to the county than it would be paying individual mileage for miles we traveled if we did that with our individual car.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure it was covered, because as the bills come through and as we approve them, I want to make sure they're approved.
Yeah, that's covered in that.
But Paul, we provide a car.
Yeah, we have a local car that's an old sheriff's car that we use as a secondary car and a more local car. Yes.
So you just use the rentals when you go further distances?
Right.
No. Right. No, we have a car we lease through the university.
Right.
Right. That we pay that lease every month. The county does. As part of this transportation.
But there's an additional vehicle that's
down. We have an additional county vehicle that's an old sheriff's car that's located on our lot, which we use. I drove to Grand Island with it last week.
So we rent cars on top of that, too?
And we have
it's more a leased car than
it's a leased car. We have a leased car that, when Paul explained it to me, it's
at least car we put about 15,000 or 20,000 miles on it a year. The other car we put about 5,000 on. So
we're not renting on top of the lease.
No.
We said rent, lease. Okay.
No.
All right. Okay. Got it.
All right. Section 8 talks about the obligations there. The only part of Section 8 that's different is that in about the fourth paragraph down there, it talks about extension programming units. I think it's the fourth line up from the bottom on number 8. They really don't exist anymore. So in the draft copy, I just took that section out concerning extension programming units. Their grand plan was at one time that we ought to be in extension programming units. They assigned us with Saline and Jefferson County. They wanted us to commingle money and do some other things. We thought a little wiser of that, and we incorporated things that we were already working on, and the operational funds for those, or whatever income and disbursement, like for Earth Festival, which we do, we put that in the desk fund, or in our operational funds in Gage County. And for the Washington Focus trip, we put that in Saline County. And for Camp Renegade, we put that in Jefferson County. So we never commingled any money, and that proved to be an extremely wise thing. We still work together with the same kind of thing, but the extension programming units, as far as administratively in the university, don't exist anymore. So that was a wise thing. On page 6 of the current interlocal agreement, section 10.
What? Paul, sorry. Question about the programs that are provided by the Extension Office as part of the county. A couple years ago, when the auditor came, any receipts of those, are they considered a university extension program that are kept separately, or is it considered a county program? Because if it's a county program, the auditor wants those to be deposited. But if in the county,
all county money is held in your thing, and it's all against our budget claimed and. Period.
Even if it's an extension program?
If I'm going to, looking forward to what I think I need to do here in the future, we have a real need to work on business succession planning, particularly for farm families, but also other small businesses like that. I think it's a real critical need to try to address in education future. All right. I need about $6,000 in order to help fund that kind of thing. Having it's about $1,000 a meeting for 6 meetings coming forward here over the next 6 or 8 months. I go out and get support dollars for that. Those support dollars are deposited in a Pinnacle Bank account. And then that is taken by the state of Nebraska. It's in the University of Nebraska accounting system. And when I've got a claim against that to pay for those bills, that claim has to be approved up there through the same rigorous auditing mechanisms that we have here, and the bill gets paid, and we go on with the program.
Okay.
So there's those programming dollars when I talk about that, yeah.
Stuff. Yeah, because that's that. I think the last time the auditor right. was here is that
those are all university dollars, but they're all, you know, we have basically no funds. We have $100 in our office in cash, period. You know, there's no money in our office. That's the way it's counted today. Section 10. Section 10 does not exist anymore for two reasons. And so that would just be removed. And the reasons for that are, at one time, we would send a draft to you for a fourth of our budget. You would send us the money, and we would expend the money. All right? In particular, there was concern because the extension educators, myself, Kayla, Nicole, those positions, were funded jointly between the state of Nebraska and the county. So there was... Because there was differential sometimes in how much was funded, those monies, it was very important that those monies, you know, were accounted for. So this section was trying to define that. Well, two things happened to change that. One thing, the first thing that happened is the legislature said, and I think the university concurred with it, but they acted like they didn't. But the legislature said, we're going to take all these extension educator salary, we're going to take them out of county budget and make them part of the university budget system. That's what happened. My salary now comes directly from the University of Nebraska. Now, it's joint monies between federal and state, but it comes, my paycheck's all through the University of Nebraska. There's no county funding for the three university positions. And that was determined by the legislature. Were you in the legislature at that time? I think the university wanted that to happen, but acted like they didn't want it to happen. Would that be
the
politics of that?
True.
The second thing would be that, you know, the auditor in more recent times has precluded any of this, put the entire county responsibility in your hands clearly. So Section 10 is irrelevant for a number of reasons, all right? And so basically it doesn't exist. I went, you know, basically not there. All right, then it talks about termination, hold harmless, your ability to, and it was signed by Dave Anderson. All right, now, do I have the power to say, let's have a motion and go forward with this draft, and we could do this at the county? And the answer to that is no. The university, it's going to have their attorneys work through all this. Your local attorney has got to add his whereases and they fours. And that process probably will proceed in the next few years to upgrade this. But I think I clearly showed that the currently interlocal agreement is basically sound. You know, we haven't been operating with number 10 for a long time. We never did operate with it, really, in the essence of how it was written. But it is sound. We are on a sound basis. And, you know, this review and the draft kind of shows that. You clearly know where we're going here. And I think that you're going to see probably 2 to 3 years down the road, perhaps, a new interlocal agreement. But the university is going to want to sign that agreement with all counties, not individually by county. They don't want to do this 93 times. You know, they want to do it as a whole unit across the state with a codified document for all counties. And that's what this one is.
But what you're saying there is the university and their attorneys are working on a new draft then?
They are discussing whether they're going to go forward with that or not. There are other counties that are reviewing this same type of thing and wanting to realign some things, particularly realign extension boards. But that isn't necessarily in disagreement with what's in the current interlocal agreement, so I don't know. I can tell you that this has been discussed before, and the past dean kind of kicked this down the road and didn't want to deal with it. This dean probably feels the same way, but he probably can't do that. And so I think we're going to have to see an updated interlocal agreement that would be drafted. Yeah.
I would be concerned, and here I am being negative, somewhat suspicious about a blanket agreement that would fit all 93 counties drafted by the University of Nebraska. I would think we would want to have a seat at that table because...
Well, it would be reviewed by, I mean, when they're going to do that, there's going to be a lot of input from the county sides too and like that. This agreement, as you'll notice, has, you know, counties everywhere in it because there's some multi-units that are out there, things like that, and that's the only kind of things that would be very different, I think, between one county and the other. So I don't think the substantive is a lot of difference in those agreements. So, but yes, you would have a seat at the table, Matt, as county government.
When will we get this agreement and for our attorney to review? And what kind of dates are we looking at for approval?
I can't answer that. I don't know that answer.
So if we just want to put it off, we can just put it off, or...
Well, I don't know that. There is not a document. I wrote this document on my own, this draft thing here, just saying I'm going to send this in to the dean and say, you know, this is what we looked at in Gage County. There's not a lot of substantive changes in here other than Section 10 being removed. The other things are pretty minor. There's some other wording that would have to be changed if our... I'm not sure the name cooperative hasn't been used by extension now for a couple of years, whether or not that would be removed from the document or not. There's some things like that, but,
We work closely with Farmers Co-op. They've been very good with their cooperative agreement.
All right. So it is what it is. That's kind of a review of where we're at. I think it's a sound document where we're at, but there will be probably an effort to statewide because there's other counties that are going through the same questioning and like that. I know that there's some meetings in the Douglas Sarpy County area here in the near future talking about some of these same type of issues. So
just for me, since I'm new, we own the county owns the building out there.
County owns the building, yes, and has a lease, a 99-year lease arrangement with the Ag Society. Because the Ag Society actually owns the property there.
And then we provide three staff, two staff. Your secretaries, is there
two? Yeah, currently we provide two secretaries and a 4-H program assistant, which would be Jane Esau's position.
And then utilities, trash, things like that.
Yeah.
Your office supplies, is that county?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out what expenses out there are county, what is university.
Right. I mean, that's the county would have the lights, the power, the water, have supplies, paper supplies, things like that, the copy machine agreements, transportation services for staff. In Eric, a lot of, like, for example, I went to, I taught several sessions in Lincoln. I taught a session in York. I taught a session in Grand Island. All of those sessions offered mileage compensation. So what I did was I drove the university car. I can't claim that mileage myself. What I did is claim that mileage back, and so that mileage was credited off our rental agreement on this university car that we've got with the university. So those were all credited. So those came back to the county because they were reimbursed off that bill. So we would, anytime we would do that, we would do that. It might be when I drove my private car, I'd get those reimbursed privately, but whatever that is, if those are available or cost operations of doing that, we get those back to the county coffers. Anytime we'd have a rent our building to someone who is not aligned with educational program or something like that, those monies belong to the county. So
Do we have any other situation in the county where we have county employees supervised by a non-county employee? And what liability, if any, do we have?
I'm trying to think, like district court. It would be Diane.
How do we handle
runs that office. I don't think county court is completely different.
I think this is fairly
unique, but the county court is very unique too. We provide space there. Probation is another one. So
the only one I think we would have would be Judge Corsland would be the bailiff's boss. The bailiff is our county employee.
Part of our employee.
No, she's.
But she's also reimbursed from, or we're reimbursed some from.
A quarter of that, but she's still our employee. Right. I mean, that was a position created by Judge Corsland, the bailiff position, and then we bill Jefferson County per quarter.
This is very unique, but it's a statutory animal.
They're all state.
They're all state employees.
All state.
I mean, at the county court, too, they're all state employees. We don't even pay their salaries. We furnish the space.
They don't use our time clock either.
They don't use our, yeah. Well, they're state employees, yeah.
No, but I mean, from a standpoint of, is that a unique situation where, since there's no county funds going to Paul's position, he's not a county employee at all, but he's supervised and is in this agreement and is responsible for the direction of county employees.
Oh, okay.
I pose it as a question. Is that an issue or not? Or I don't know. Is there any inherent liability to the county for that? Not insinuating any malice. I'm just saying as part of a discussion.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There are things to discuss there. I don't know how concerns.
If that's an issue or not.
When I think as Paul is looking at this, I mean, this agreement's been out here since 97.
Right.
As you pointed out in your discussion, there's already two or three paragraphs have no relevance anymore because of practice that the extension agents have said, this doesn't work, or working with the county folk, we can fine-tune it. So I think statutorily, too, if we need to, we might be looking at that. I don't know how hard it is going to be, as Matt says, when you start negotiating with 93 counties, and I don't know how many different interlocals there are out there. That's a lot of people to try and work with.
Well, essentially, there's I think this is a uniform document across those areas that was done. And
it's nice
that
they won't be negotiating, but it's going to be, here's the agreement, sign it.
Right.
Yeah, and that's fine. It's not the only one we have. We're going to take up several of them today.
Right.
Kind of the same thing.
You were a county employee before, though. Is that right? Or were you a state? You were county before, and
were you ever a county employee, Paul?
Or were you state and then university?
At one time, the extension educator positions, or three positions that were occupied by myself and Nicole and Kayla, at one time they were joint between the county and the state, or the university. Now they are all part of the university. So I don't have any county assignment, though.
And that's what made me think about, at one point, you could say, well, it's kind of a quasi-county employee because we're kind of helping to fund that, but now it's not at all.
Okay. Well, the model we are kind of acting under, Dave, is that I am more or less like a, you know, quasi-unit leader in the county, or quasi, department head in the county, yeah. Eric, one thing I want to point out, too, is that while I go to other counties to teach, and we also have, I could cite in the last 6 months that Darcy Pesek has taught here from out of Jefferson County, Randy Pryor, Leanne Manning, Eric, the program assistant in Saline County has been here, Tyler Williams, the gentleman Monty Vandeveer that's in Odo County, Gary Lessowing, who is in Auburn, has been here, and Carly Black, who is in Pawnee City, has been here. Jessica Jones has been here we go there, but they come, there's their expertise, and they are doing programs that are revolved around here, too. So,
any more questions for Paul? Or otherwise, thank you very much for coming and explaining this, and if we can help, or if you need some input
from somebody
I will carry
forward?
Matt's, I will carry Matt's concern and a couple other comments that were made here back, and you know, we'll see where it goes. But I don't think we have a document that's out in the wind somewhere. I think it's pretty sound. It probably does need some updating. Yep. So.
Well, I have a non-contract question. What percentage of Gage County's ag land is not planted yet? Curious.
I would say something in the neighborhood of 5 to 7%.
Would. Wow. Sure. You drive around and you just see.
Yeah, it's particularly bottom ground that's not planted. And spots in fields. Most farmers have got the size of Myron's group and like that probably have 70 to 80 acres of spots here and there that are not planted. And
they were.
Maybe they, yeah, some of them were, and some of them were twice or three times. I talked with a client that contacts us from Richardson County. They have a 1,000-acre field on the Missouri bottom that in 30 years of farming, they have never failed to plant that. Even in 2011 when the whole thing went underwater, they had it planted and growing. But this year they have not been able to plant. They did get a little of it planted and it died in the water. So now they're talking about trying to control weeds on that and sowing that to oats maybe in the later part of August. I asked Don Esau whether he wanted to show up over there with a swath or 1,000 acres of oats after November 1st. A lot of hay, Terry. Yeah. It would be quite a... But we're going to see a lot of some weed control and cover crops put on some of these things like... I would recommend things like oats and turnips and maybe pearl millet, because those are the cheapest things, and I think we really got to look at cheap right now in terms of what we're doing. They're not what they're going to get back on crop insurance if that's a rental piece of property won't pay the rent. So it's a tight margin right now.
Where have onion crops around Gage County?
What's this crop?
Onions.
The closest onion growers we have are up around Cedar Rapids and like that. You're going to grow onions. It's either a little farm-to-market thing or you're going to grow them under contract. We have some surprising areas. There's the Frito-Lay plant in Topeka, Kansas, has some potatoes supplied by Nebraska about about 9 months out of the year. Out of the Duncan, Nebraska area near Columbus. So we have some surprising things that people don't realize are out there.
I always wondered about onions.
Yeah. But onions, there was a lot of onion growers around Grand Island. We have the largest onion ring manufacturer in the United States in Grand Island, Nebraska. But a lot of those come in and are processed there. There are some onions grown in the state of Nebraska.
Okay, but, good. Thank you.
How did that come to your mind and your...
I've suggested a family member of mine that he should plant onions.
Is it too late to plant the Colorado cash crop, or is it too late for that?
There you go. Whatever it
that
is.
That grows like a weed, doesn't it?
As long as you clear it with Gus ahead of time, that it's okay to plant it.
As long as they sell it to Colorado, I don't have a problem.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you, Paul, for coming and explaining some of this. So, we've always had a lot of questions. So.
Well, the extension office is a good resource. I mean, even some of these silly questions.
Silly questions.
Even some of these unusual questions, different types of weeds, you know, what's going on. I call out there periodically. I've got a weed to take out there to Nicole right now that none of us know what it is. So it is a good resource for everybody here. But it doesn't hurt to look at the contract and see. Yep. That is an odd one to have county employees managed by non-county employees, county equipment managed by non-county. I didn't know we had a leased car out there. I knew there was a...
We pay the lease on it. It's leased through the university.
I'm guessing through the U, it's a pretty good lease.
Visiting with Paul, that the university
they have a program where they go out to different vehicle companies or whatever, and they get those leases, and we're able to do this, lease this car underneath that program. So
I still don't understand who manages that budget, though. We're supplying funding for office and this and that, but who manages that?
Paul's in charge of managing that budget.
We line item it in our budget.
Right.
Last
year, $136,000, and he's correct, about three-quarters of that or 70% is wages and benefits. So,
and there's three staff out there
that we pay for.
So that, and that's where my concern, and, you know, and he's just a messenger. But if the University of Nebraska is coming up with a blanket agreement, if you know, if you draft the agreement, you always look out for your best interest.
Right.
So, well, does it say that we provide three, or does it say that we provide a?
We provide staffing.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
It's
say
fairly
it.
Ambiguous too.
Yeah.
You know.
If you look at that agreement, it's fairly benign. Yeah, I guess benign, ambiguous, whatever.
If you look at a business that's working off a $130,000 budget plus three others, three staff is a lot of. I mean, are they secretarial? Are they
two secretarial, and then Jane Esau, who basically does a lot with the 4-H programs in the county.
That's what it was that you had asked about before, is 4-H. How do we fall into that? I was going to ask about that today, and I forgot. But, that seems – maybe not. That seems like I look at myself personally. That's slightly lower than my yearly budget, and we don't have – that kind of office staff, so I don't know.
They do a lot of programs, and I know we visited this earlier this year about the fact that this, with the new farm program, Paul and their group out there, they really helped a lot of the farmers go over what was the best avenue for them to go as far as that.
They
put a lot of extra time in, and there's a lot more, goes on than what we see, but yet at the same time, like Matt said, there's a $136,000 budget from the county that the county, it's county dollars that we expend out there. And
they do
it's
a
our
lot.
Job to make sure that we kind of oversee that and ask questions about it. And
they'll have programs from time to time where we will be invited out to basically have a session on what they're doing and what they're accomplishing. And so they try to stay pretty close.
And Paul will submit a budget, and we'll review that or go over it or questions those what he submitted and all of those things. It's not just he submits it and we.
There's a lot of free services provided to everyone out there too.
A lot of free services. And they, if you ever listen to like even the Yard and Garden on Fridays, a lot of times, there's a lot of questions, and they go out and they help a lot of people with a lot of things that. We kind of take for granted sometimes. So, next on the agenda, approve or disapprove agreement for EPC services between Region 5 Systems and Gage County for the period of July 1, 2015 through June 30th, 2016.
Basically, it's a repeat of redoing the contract from year to year, and we continue to provide emergency protective services when they're needed for people in our facilities that have mental health issues and need needs that we can't provide here, and that we send them basically to Lincoln to several providers, and Region 5 provides the services and the direction on those programs. So I would move to approve the agreement for EPC services between Region 5 Systems and Gage County for July 1st, 2015 to June 30th, 2016. And I sit on that board, and we meet all 16 counties in southeast Nebraska. We discuss everything that goes on a monthly basis, and so we're kept informed all the time on what's happening. So,
second. Okay. A motion by Byers and a second by Bauman. And
just
Terry.
A quick question. How many dollars are we talking about there? Any idea?
Well, the charge went up. They had a slight increase. The new rate is $191 a day, and I think is the last one. Do you remember, Roger, was it 180 or 169, something like that we pay? And the EPC is we're required by statute to pay for EPCs, which is emergency protective custody. on individuals.
Is this the one with Lancaster County that last year?
Yeah.
I think last year it was more like the $118, $120, and it went up this year because there was quite a
dilemma. Real big deal with Lancaster County that got really out of control, but it's been put into place and has been reconstructed, and so everything is working smoothly now, we hope.
Yeah, and as a result of that, Gage County and the other smaller counties, their fees per day have risen, but I don't remember that either. It was in the paper, but I don't remember other than that, but it has risen. But
I think the law enforcement, we've had some discussions. I've had some discussions with Gus recently as far as working with them to go to their facility first. Then if they can't take them, then it's an overflow that goes to Brian, usually, Brian Memorial.
Yeah, it's a referral.
Yeah.
Holding referral.
You got the agreement right that I told you, so you've looked at it.
Yeah, have you had a chance to review that, Roger?
Yeah, I don't have any problem. I would just add Region 5 really helps us. Even though we have activity, you don't have a lot of bargaining power when you're dealing with big hospitals, and that's nothing against them. It's just the fact of life. We had a wrestling match here, and Don had pulled some things up and was reviewing them, and it was largely through the power of Region 5 working with the group up in Lincoln that we were able to negotiate something, even though there's a raise as far as the cost. It hadn't been raised for quite some time, as I understand. So it's an unfortunate situation that it's a cost to our taxpayers, but we certainly do utilize it.
We still will have, bills that we'll owe Brian, and, a clearer legislation on, if we can get Medicaid rates or not Medicaid rates, that's all the things that we have to negotiate. Anyhow.
But, yes, and Rogers had a chance to review it. So any more questions or comments?
This is also part of that CJ when he came and presented the Region 5 Systems individual that
a couple months
presented.
Ago.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Vote. Are you ready? Vote.
Yep.
7-0.
You have a copy of the agreement?
Yes, I've got the one they just sent me.
Very good.
All right. Anything else for the agenda? Otherwise, Roger?
Just to make for the record, I sent everybody a copy of that litigation filed on behalf of an individual out of Wymore. We had a couple deputies that were basically doing backup at that time, helping the city of Wymore out. And I talked to Don, brought a copy of it, and Don referred it to NIRMA. So they already have that, but just for the record, so you can show that it's been done.
You want me to put some on next agenda?
That's all right. We can just make a note of it. And again, we'll two deputies, one and now is the chief of police down there. And interestingly enough, the county is not sued as an entity in this one. So I won't comment.
Don pointed out here, I forgot one more thing here on the agenda. Approve or disapprove a 1% increase for the lid on restricted funds.
That's just to relate, be able to increase the base of your restricted funds. And right now it's a 2.5, and you can increase an additional 1% if needed.
Yes, we are allowed by a lid an increase of over funds of 2.5% a year. But by a supermajority vote of the board, we could increase that to another percent. And we always do this every year, not with the intentions of increasing it by that additional amount, but if we come through a budget process and we come up with something here at the end of the budget process, we can't approve it after the fact. We normally approve it now ahead of getting to that point where we set our budget, so that if for some unseen reason or whatever we need that, then we have this approved.
It gives us cash flow availability.
Yes. Yep. Good point.
And it hasn't been used recently for some time, right?
No, not for a long time.
Yeah.
We used it. No. Mm-mm.
What type of money would that be?
Round numbers, last year our funding was around $8 million. We had tax asking. Round numbers. That's not exact. And we're 2.5%. That would be a $200,000 increase we could. And if we had to go above that, we could do another 1% or another $80,000. Those are round numbers, so I don't have the exact numbers. So.
But this is just approving the 1%.
If we needed to, this would be another $80,000. If as we go through the budget process, if something unforeseen or something that we're not expecting develops, this gives us that availability. Not saying at all that we will do that or whatever. Because since we sat on the board, I know the 4 years we haven't even come close to that. Because 2 years we had basically 0% increase in asking, and then I think a 1.6 about, and about a 2%. So we've even been under the 2.5% lid or something like that. So did we have a motion?
No, we're waiting.
We need a motion to approve that.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Byers. Vote 7-0. Now, the only other thing on there is a closed session. We have some contract.
Oh, Matt, go ahead. Can we talk a little bit about wind?
Yes.
Okay, so there's the planning and zoning that's going to have their meeting.
Planning and zoning has their meeting Thursday at 3 o'clock in here, their zoning board meeting. And at that time, they're going to have some discussion on the wind farm regulations or some of the thoughts of what we would like to change or have proposed or... with all the meetings that we've come up with.
So maybe in 2 weeks we can have a little more in-depth conversation about wind.
In 2 weeks. I did visit with Lisa Wigan through this process. Or I visited with her a couple weeks ago, and she really wanted to have this in front of the zoning board so that they haven't had a meeting or two, and they haven't had a good discussion, because whatever regulations we want to adjust will come in front of the zoning board for a public hearing first. Did visit with her. She would like to do this at the zoning board. Then sometime in early August after the fair, then our thought was that we will hold the public informational meeting. And anybody who would like to come for that would be more than welcome, or to anybody. We wanted, our conversation has been that we'll have a public informational meeting before we go to the public hearings in front of the zoning board and the county board and stuff to explain those more or whatever. So,
thank you.
But, you know, Lancaster County has come out with some proposals. It's on their websites what they are, and I know they're having some meetings or some discussions on those already.
And I'm getting contacts out of those meetings from people in Northern. So
they want
to know what we're doing. So that's why I'm saying we need to, you know, in typical government fashion, we're moving at a snail's pace. I think we just I want to keep that churning, so I'm glad we are.
It is moving, but
churning, spinning.
Yeah, spinning. But as far as our county, I think originally we wanted to look at the sound, the decimal. Is that right for us? The setback for a non-participating person.
Right.
I think somebody even has brought up. Lisa's had a little bit of discussion too amongst us about. We've had one proposal of a smaller one in Gage County here, and at what is there a height where if you were under a certain height, would they not have to have the public hearing and just kind of, as long as they meet the zoning regulations, would that be acceptable or whatever? And I don't think we have anything in ours right now of height. It's just if you want to build a wind towers at all, you have to go through the public hearing. So. Because we have elevators in the county that are taller than what was proposed down there by the hog operation, Esau's or whatever. That was like ants. That was like 130 feet, and we have elevators that are 150, 180 feet tall, and they don't have to go through the public hearing and all of that. So those are questions that are brought up that were probably will be part of our informational meeting and part of our other discussions too. So,
is there anything on that for a non-participating member? Can anyone become a participating member if this doesn't meet zoning, so then they pay off that person, so then they are participating?
That's up to the...
So that's still okay.
That is in our regulations, and that's up to the wind developer.
Yep.
That's going to cost somebody some more money, so then they...
Well, but that way at least it frees it up if somebody does want to do it.
Yep. You bet.
It's called free enterprise.
Yep.
Free enterprise.
Jesus in the wheels.
Thank you. Oh, hold it. Hold it. Open the door. We need a motion to go into closed session. This, you can't flip that yet. We need a motion to go into closed session. For the protection of, necessary for the protection of the public interest or protection of needless injury for the reputation of individual, but this is not. This is for contract negotiations.
Well, it could be. We're going to talk about stuff that could impact people's.
Impact people. That's what we're going into closed session for. I need a motion.
Second.
Motion by Byer, second by Tiemann. Vote. 7-0 to go into closed session at 10:14. I need a motion to come out of executive session. I need a motion to come out of executive session. A motion by Tiemann, second by Lytle. At 11:20, we will come out of executive session. Vote. 7-0. Meeting adjourned.
Mark?
Yeah, go ahead. Not quite adjourned.
He was quick. He wanted to be out of here.
Yeah.
One other question from the Vets Committee meeting. I should have brought this up earlier. With that fund that they have over there for their emergency needs for vets, remind me again. I need to go back and explain to them how the funds for that need to be handled, because they're down to, I don't remember what, $3,500 I think they're down to. And their concern is that they're getting down too low.
Yeah.
And the vets on the committee are getting concerned that they're getting down too low, and they want to know what's going to happen when they need funds as that gets lower. And I wasn't thinking of all the answers, and I want you guys to remind me.
They need to give us a frequent update as to what that balance is, and then I can't remember what the threshold was.
The auditor suggested 2,000 because that's what we've been allocating. So when they get down to 2,000, then they put in a claim for whatever to bring them up to 2,000 that they don't need
But when we went back and looked historically what the expenses were, they weren't, in a year's time, they weren't draining it.
Right, and they haven't been. I mean, it's been 3 years, and they haven't taken any funds back into it.
There's dollars there that we can put in, but it was just an additional fund where the auditor said, don't put that much out there because that's county funding in an outside account.
And that's what I told them, and they're like, well, but what happens if we need it? And I said, the money is allocated. It's there. But what? And I said, it's there. So we're supposed to trust. And I said, well, yeah, you're supposed to trust me on that one. But, I mean, it's there in the budget. It's there. Yeah. So, okay, I'll just reiterate that to them, too.
Submit a claim if they need an additional.
Yeah. Well, but in guidelines with this $2,000 with the auditor, right.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. But if they know that that's where the threshold is, and then they get, spent down to zero, right. What they're asking is, okay, we get spent down there, and then all of a sudden we have a couple claims come, and we don't have the money there. You know, is it okay to make the bill yet?
Zero.
And then come back for the claim. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
we'll
I was like, yes, the money's there. It'll be fine.
We'll just have to make sure we put money into the
That's
fund
why they need to
this
let us
time.
Know what that, when they spend it, they need to let us know frequently what that
okay.
balance is.
Well, I'll go back with that to them. I mean, I think this is working because there were communications lines that kind of opened up there, and the vets themselves on that committee had questions about some of these things, same things that Phil was saying.
Historically, they used to give an accounting, not the person's name, but you've got 2,000, I spent 100.
Don't need who it's spent on.
No, that's
why
I said you
numbers.
Don't spend who it is or say who it was spent on. You just 100 for rent, okay. 100 for groceries or whatever, and then here's the balance.
Matt, with each county extension office talked about submitting the financial reports on there. Do they always get their financial stuff over
None.
To you?
I don't know.